When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Free agency continues to change in the NFL as more players get signed away, but who should the Steelers be targeting? We'll talk about that and a lot more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Also, a quick look at the Pirates, what's going on with them. They've gotten a few wins lately, but still the big question of when does Paul Skeens get called up? All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo and Noah Hiles. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. We're going to get into a lot of Steelers talk here to start off and switch over to Noah Hiles talking Pirates in the show. It's going to be a big, fun show that we have a lot going on here, talking all things Pittsburgh sports. As always, you can find all our written work at post-gazette.com for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Subscribe there. You can also find all of our podcasts on audio platforms by searching Post-Gazette Sports, as well as on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all the daily content from all of our sports writers, as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. And as always, today's episode is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, there are 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap every single day, and they're always switching new ones in and out for a great experience. More on them later. Ray, Tyler Boyd got signed away in free agency to the Tennessee Titans, and for a price that makes it look like the Steelers could have paid that if they really wanted him. Do you think at this point that the Steelers were even really considering Tyler Boyd, or was that just more so like maybe like early on feeling out and that maybe plans changed after they got like a Roman Wilson type of guy in the draft?
Yeah, listen, I just don't think they view Tyler Boyd as a number two receiver. And if you look at the way that this offseason has unfolded, Chris, that's what they're looking for. And I still think that's what in the end, they're probably going to target. To me, they have plenty of guys like Tyler Boyd already on this roster.
Right.
Van Jefferson is a vet who has been in that role before, probably not at this stage of his career, but he's there. Quez Watkins has had injuries, but he's a capable guy who can step in and have a role on your football team. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Tyler Boyd signed for a price that maybe the Steelers could afford. You know, they only paid Allen Robinson a little over $1 million last year to be their number three. So I just don't think they were willing to pay, you know, close to $5 million for a guy who's going to be a role player and a guy who might have Allen Robinson type numbers in the 2024 season. So I don't want to say they're content with their receiving core, but I think they're content to see how it plays out in the spring in early summer before they make any moves.
That's where I'm at. I think that they want that they're in a position where they don't have to force a move until they are sure what they need moving forward. Because, you know, because if you're talking about signing free agents or trading for somebody, you kind of want to make sure that you're making the right move. And then if you get in and you see Roman Wilson can play outside for whatever reason, you're like, whoa, didn't expect that. Then maybe you can just go with a slot receiver somewhere and you don't need to get as big of a playmaker. But maybe you see that he's specifically a slot receiver and like, well, we need a guy that's going to line up outside. I think that's what their mind is. And I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to run through these names. These are available free agent wide receivers as of right now. Michael Thomas, Hunter Renfro, Zay Jones, Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, Julio Jones, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Do any of those people sound like players the Steelers could just slap in and make a number two wide receiver? I have a hard time seeing that. Maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling because he worked with the Chiefs and the Packers recently, but I think all those guys are more so either slot options or third wide receiver options or just guys that are over the hill.
Yeah, so Hunter Renfro would be the perfect number three slot receiver, but isn't that what Roman Wilson's role is going to be? I mean, that's kind of what we think, unless you said he could prove that, you know, he could actually be an option on the outside for you. So I think this is always the case. You know, this is like, what, the third wave of free agency. We saw that big first wave, and we saw some guys trickle in the second wave. Those guys who are sitting out there now, they're sitting out there for a reason, and it's either teams don't want them or teams don't want them at the price that those guys are commanding right now. So, you know, Valdes-Scantling, you know, he had some drop issues. He's probably got the most pedigree of any of those guys. But to me, you know, I just want to kind of let's see what Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson can do. Right. Let's see what Calvin Austin can do. And then if they come up short this spring and, you know, they're not doing well in training camp, then you make a move, say, in early August to mid-August, and then you still have, what, a month or so to fold that guy into the offense. So, to me, being patient right now is the right move. You don't want to overpay for a guy who might not have a big role on your offense.
No, I think that's the thing here. This is also, I think this is part of what Omar Khan's trying to set up. It's smart to give yourself the foundation to head into making a decision and not rushing into a situation. Because let's say they trade for a guy and they trade for let's say they trade for Cortland Sutton and they pay a not that they're going to, but I'm saying like we're just creating a hypothetical here, and they overpay from what they could have. You could be looking at a situation where maybe a team loses a starting offensive tackle and they're like, oh man, we need one. And then all of a sudden you could package Dan Moore Jr. with a guy that's been a 3-year starter in the NFL with maybe like a low round draft pick to go to a team and get that wide receiver at a very reasonable price. And then all of a sudden you're in a much better situation. Or maybe let's just say Roman Wilson is amazing in rookie camp and then mini camp and then training camp. And then you're like, you know what? Maybe that guy is a number two wide receiver. Maybe we underestimated his abilities and Calvin Austin can be in the slot. Maybe we don't need it. Maybe we should go get a really good number two cornerback, which I want to talk more about in the next segment. But I think that this is why the Steelers, like, again, they have the foundation. They have most of the roster figured out. Offensive line's pretty good to go. Tight end, running back, quarterback, linebacker, D-line, edge rusher, safety. You know, corner and wide receiver, I think the two positions that we're kind of looking at, like, maybe they could add a little bit more there. But I think for a team that's heading into, you know, this part of the year, I think that's a fine position to be in. If they wanted to make more moves, they have the cap space right now. They have $18 million. I think what 10 of that goes to maybe the rookie class this year. Right. So I think they're in a space to be able to make moves if they really wanted to as the offseason rolls along.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Steelers are kind of like in a discovery phase right now with their entire offensive operation. And Chris, what's the harm in letting things play out in May, June, and July with the guys that you've acquired? You have a new OC in Arthur Smith. I know he has some familiarity with Cordarrelle Patterson and Van Jefferson, and even limited with Van Jefferson. But my point is there's new pieces here, and Arthur Smith has to see how Quez Watkins might fit into his offense. He has to see how Van Jefferson might fit, and as well as Roman Wilson. So there's a lot of new pieces to that puzzle. And, you know, I don't know what the chances of what you name five guys. I don't know if the chances of those five guys are still being available in July, but they're not off the board in mid-May. So, you know, if I'm the Steelers, I hold tight here. Let these guys run with the ones this spring, even early summer in training camp, if you want to do that. And then you reevaluate, you know, when you're maybe a month to 6 weeks from the season starting and you're not happy with the way the offense looks, or you're not happy with the way your receiver core looks, then you go ahead and make a move. But to do that now, just to infuse another number three or number four receiver into your offense like Tyler Boyd. I just don't think that would make a whole lot of sense.
Absolutely. I want to talk about some of these other positions that are available. We'll get to that here more in the on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette after this first break. Stick with us, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, and we will have Pirates talk in a bit here, looking at when Paul Skeens might go up, come up. But before we do any of that, I want to remind you guys, we are sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Mike's Beer Bar is the place to go in the North Shore. They're right across the street from PNC Park, the perfect place to go before, during, and after Pirates games. Or if you just want to go and have a nice night out on the town, they have amazing food options like steak on a stone, seafood on a stone. They have great flatbread pizzas, all the different things there to enjoy for dinner. So bring your family, bring your friends, bring your crew you want to come watch sports with. They have over 20 televisions to enjoy, whether you're into the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, MLB, or just want to have a nice night out. And also, like I said, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, as we keep growing as a booming place for many craft breweries. But also 80 of those local beers are available on tap every single day, and they're always switching new ones in and out so that you can get a new experience every single time you go to Mike's Beer Bar. It's the best bar in Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking Steelers free agency and potential trade options here. But let's go back to free agency for a little bit here. Let's throw wide receiver out the window here. If the Steelers were to add at a position in free agency, maybe not like today, but at some point in this offseason, what do you think is the most likely position, Ray, that they would address if they were to sign a free agent that's available right now?
I think cornerback. And I think the name to watch is Cam Sutton. And I know it's been a little bit quiet on that front since Jerry Dulac reported, I think it was day three of the draft, that the Steelers had met with, Sutton like in the previous week there. So, I just think that's something to monitor. You need a slot corner right now. They still haven't re-signed Patrick Peterson or Chandon Sullivan. I think there's a reason for that. And I think that reason is, I think they want to see how things play out with Cam Sutton in this legal process. And I think also important is how this plays out with the commissioner's office. You know, is he going to be, subject to a short suspension here that the Steelers might want to factor into, the calculus of them signing him. So, again, just like receiver, Chris, I don't think there is a need to make that happen. Right now, you got plenty of guys who can take reps in the spring, guys you want to learn about. Maybe these guys will just be back of the end roster guys for you this season. Maybe these guys will just be practice squad guys for you. But you give them the reps in the spring and early summer. You let them show what they can do. And then when it comes time to go out and get your slot cornerback, you can do that. Whether that's Cam Sutton, Patrick Peterson, or anyone else, to me, there's no harm in letting these guys get some reps, get exposure to them, and find out what you have for your 53-man roster a little bit early.
Absolutely. I agree with you that cornerback is the position that they should be looking at. But like wide receiver, there's no reason to commit to anything until you know for sure what you have. You know, Beanie Bishop is an undrafted free agent guy who had great ball production for West Virginia. Maybe he could be your slot option. Maybe he comes in and you're like, whoa, wait a second. We got something to work with there. And all of a sudden, you know, Dante Jackson on the outside, not that bad with Joey Porter Jr. and a young slot receiver in this defense. Or maybe you come to camp and you're like, whoa, none of these guys are ready to go. Dante Jackson isn't all that. Maybe you do need to go get a guy. I'm not saying either direction is going to happen, but preparing for which direction it might go is, I think, a big part of what GMs need to do and why they need to not overcommit to one player or another before it's too soon to do so. And I think the other thing about cornerback, I think there's actually a better pool of players to pull from right now, at least at this point in time, to get some answers there. One, you said Cam Sutton. I agree. One, I kind of still want to see how things continue to play out for Cam Sutton. I want to see if there's an announced suspension. Like, how long would he be out? Would it be 6 weeks? Would it be 8 weeks? Would it be 4 weeks? You know, what's going to happen with the Cam Sutton situation? But there's also other guys out there that are like older options who have been number one cornerbacks in the NFL. Xavien Howard, who was recently reported to be 100% healthy and ready to go. Would he be a guy that the Steelers could look at? Stephon Gilmore, a little bit older of an option, but a guy who started in the NFL for a long time. He'd been one of the best defenders in the NFL at times. And then even, you know, the possibility of bringing back like a Patrick Peterson if all else fails, or even like, you know, other guys that aren't as high up as them, but like a Dory Jackson, you know, or guys like that. I think that there is a nice selection of cornerbacks available to you to look at if all else fails in the early spring camps, and then going into training camp, you're like, yeah, we kind of need to add somebody else here.
Yeah, to me, like Xavien Howard or Stephon Gilmore, those would be desperation options. And right. By desperation, I mean the Steelers would have to pony up to get those guys on their roster. Those guys aren't going to play for the vet minimum.
Like $8-10 million.
Yeah, they're not playing for $2 or $3 million dollars a season. So to me, like the Steelers, and again, this is a different front office, but I even think we saw this last year with the Chandon Sullivan signing. They think they can get by with less in the secondary. And you could argue whether that's right or wrong. This is a team that's built around its pass rush. You know, last year they got stung a little bit by Cam Hayward getting injured and him not being himself. So while they had the two outside guys doing really well in Highsmith and Watt, there wasn't that push on the interior. And then I think that's why the secondary was exposed a little bit. Let's be honest. That's the reason why Patrick Peterson, who lost the step, that's why he was exposed a little bit. So I think the Steelers believe they're going to be healthier up front this year. And yeah, like I said, if they do go out and get a guy like Howard or Gilmore, that tells me that then maybe that's their last move. And they think, hey, well, we got to do something. Let's go out and do this.
I agree. That's why I'm putting names out of the show. Like, hey, there's options available there, because I think either one of those guys immediately start on the outside for you. And it might be a situation where it's like, hey, there weren't a whole lot of other options available to them. Or, you know, maybe they felt really good at other positions. They said, hey, this is where we can splurge this year. Because, again, here's the thing about those $8-10 million deals we're talking about for Howard or Gilmore. Those are going to be 1 year deals. They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be 3-4 year deals where that's locked up and that ties up money. That's just a, hey, you know what? Extra money was here. Let's add to this roster a piece that we think can make us really good for right now. So yeah. I feel you there. And again, this is all waiting on something. And I know some people are going to say, well, what about Justin Simmons? And I'm like, Justin Simmons is probably going to be even more expensive. And he's at the safety position where the Steelers kind of, I think they're kind of solidified there with Minkah Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, and they still have DeMonte Casey on the roster. Maybe they get another guy who's more specifically designed for the slot. You know, Shannon Sullivan's still available. And Shannon Sullivan's one of those guys you could probably bring back at closer to the vet minimum and say, like, all right, well, at least he's a veteran that knows the system and he can plug and play. And I also didn't think Shannon Sullivan did a terrible job for the Steelers last year. I think it's just he's not a person you had to bring back. If he's back, okay, then you just have a veteran who you're used to. But I think that's the thing here is that the Steelers, for what could happen here, I think they're in a fine position to kind of just wait it out and see what happens in the early months. And also, again, who knows? Someone gets injured for the Steelers or someone gets injured somewhere else. And then all of these calculations change because then either the Steelers need to make a trade to get to fill a spot or another team needs it. And then that can change the calculus of how we're looking at the roster construction.
And listen, injuries play a huge part in this, Chris. I mean, look at Cam Hayward last year. Cam Hayward never got on the practice field throughout training camp. He was being held out. That core muscle injury is something that happened even before they got to training camp, or it was bothering him before they got to training camp. You know, I know Corey Trice wasn't going to be a major piece, but, you know, a guy got injured on the first day of training camp. He was done for the season. So literally anything can happen to your football team starting in July. And then you have to be able – you got to be flexible and, you know, you got to be able to you know, work the phones and do what you got to do to put your best roster out there. But, you know, that's why, you know, these training camps are such a, you know, a hot topic. You know, some teams like the Bengals barely play their guys in the preseason. You know, the Steelers are the opposite. They'll hit in training camp. They'll play their starters in the preseason. They kind of want to toughen them up and get them ready for the season. There's two different schools of thought, but the only fact of the matter is that there's 100% injury rate in the NFL. It doesn't matter what you do. You could try to hold your guys back. You could try to do this or that, but it's a rough sport and there's going to be injuries along the way and you just got to be able to roll with the punches.
Absolutely. We got to switch topics to the Pirates. Ray, thanks so much for joining us to talk Steelers. Steelers rookie camp is Friday. We will get you a preview of that Friday morning before we head to rookie camp as we get our first look on the practice field of Troy Faltanu, Zach Frazier, Roman Wilson, and that crew and everyone there. So we'll get to that and we'll get to that on Friday. But first, I want to switch to Pirates. We'll do so with Noah Hyles on the Pirates beat right after this break here on the North Shore Drive podcast. We now switch to the Pirates on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my buddy, Noah Hyles, who's been on the beat, working his butt off. And Noah, I gotta know, when the heck is Paul Skenes coming up, man? That's what everyone in Pittsburgh and all of baseball is waiting to see.
Yeah, you know, I think the wait might be over here soon. I wouldn't be surprised if he made his debut this weekend. This is nothing official. But just based off of conversations I've had and based off of dots that I've been able to connect, I think the timeline that would make the most sense would be for him to make his MLB debut Saturday. And I'll break it down for you right now here, Carter. Please. Here's why I think it's Saturday. So Skenes' last start was Sunday.
Okay.
We heard from a source that his next scheduled outing is Saturday. Obviously, the Pirates have been on record saying he's scheduled to pitch for Indianapolis. But guess what? Schedules can change. And that's why they said they haven't definitively said he's pitching in Indy or Pittsburgh. They said he's scheduled to pitch this weekend for Indianapolis. But we know from sources that his scheduled start is Saturday, which would be 5 days rest as opposed to 4 days rest, which he just pitched on the last time. So why would it be Saturday? Well, who's pitching for the Pirates on Friday? Jared Jones. You do not mess with anything attached to Jared Jones right now. You do not take him off his schedule. You do not throw him off his rhythm. His day is his day, and he's going to pitch that day, and he's going to do probably well on those days. So that's why you don't take Paul Skenes and put him Friday ahead of Jared Jones. Why also would it be Saturday? Let's think of the circus that this will cause with Paul Skenes' debut. Pitchers do not talk on days they're pitching. You do not bring him up here for the first game of a homestand, have all these reporters show up to pregame and him not talking, because after his start, it means he's going to have to do 3 hours worth of interviews. The reason you pitch him Saturday is you bring him into town on Friday for that first home game of the series. It's Paul Skenes media parade. All the cameras, all the radio stations, all the newspapers and online outlets, they get their interviews. They do their scrums. They put them up at the podium. Ben Cherington, who was not available to speak with us this week, will be in town probably and talk with Paul Skenes. I wouldn't even be surprised if Mr. Nutting was in town for it. Okay. It will be that big of an event. And they did something similar with Garrett Cole with his debut. They bring him up. He talks the day before. He pitches on Saturday. Let's get into the logistics of the rotation. Like I said, you don't mess with Jared Jones' spot in the rotation. An idea that's been floated by with Paul Skenes, because everyone in the starting rotation is pitching really well right now,
right,
is that rather than replacing someone or demoting someone, you demote someone in the bullpen, you go to a six-man rotation. Saturday would be the perfect time to do that. You don't mess with Jared Jones. You slide Paul Skenes in there, and he is – right before Bailey Falter, and you can roll with that six-man rotation for the rest of May until you determine what you're going to do with that last spot. And my final thing here on the timeline, Skenes' last start was Sunday, which means his bullpen would have been today, Wednesday. He's probably throwing it right now at around 10 o'clock as we speak. They're set to play this afternoon in Louisville. My guess is he throws his bullpen Wednesday morning. They play the game in Louisville. He gets promoted after the game. That's when they make the call to him. They give him the good news. We might find out about it Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and the parade begins Friday on the North Shore. It gives you enough notice for the news to get out to probably sell out that whole weekend series. And it's I don't know. I think there's too many dots to be acknowledged. There's also the other things, you know, like the guy took his cap off and tipped it to the fans after his last start in Indy. He only went 4 1/3 innings. So, like, what are you doing that for if you don't know that this is your last start? So, I based off of conversations I've had, I have a pretty strong indication that this is happening. And the timeline that I've been able to piece together, I think, makes the most sense for the Pirates on a strategy standpoint and on a financial standpoint. This is a big-time thing. This is something that they knew was going to be a day that probably gets them a higher attendance number than the home opener. Yeah. This could be the highest attended game of the season for them, a Saturday with the number one pitching debut in Major League Baseball on the North Shore against the Chicago Cubs is a big day, and I think it's mapped out perfectly.
It certainly seems that way. I mean, you've laid out the cookie crumbs very well to lead to this, yeah, this being the possibility here. I look at this, and I know that there's a lot of people that have been very impatient about this. How do you think Skeens has handled the lead up to this? Just doing what he's doing in the minors, you know, kind of playing a good soldier role while everyone in the country is like, we want to just see this guy.
Soldier's the perfect way. I equate him to the Terminator. This is a robot made in a factory from the future that came here to strike dudes out. He is, I mean, when you see the guy, Carter, and I've seen him pitch in person, I've talked to him. I mean, he is like built in a lab for baseball. He doesn't have social media. He's gone on record. This is a direct quote. He said, "I don't have hobbies." He just plays baseball. And this is a guy, and like, he's not like a hard ass about it either. Like, he's like, yeah, a fun guy to talk to. But like, he's just down to business. He's like, look, man, I work one day a week, and the other 6 days I spend thinking and preparing for my one work day. And so I think that he's very good when you give him a plan, and they've been very clear about this plan with him prior to even the start of the season. I think it started when they drafted him in early July. They laid it all out. They said, look, man, hey, this is how it's going to go. You just put a ton of mileage on your arm leading LSU to a national championship. You probably could be in the major leagues right now, but we don't want to push you because you're a big time asset. So they treated him with kid gloves last year. They just let him get a little taste of minor league baseball. They really eased him into the professional workload, you know, the 5 days, because in college you only pitch once a week. So you can put a little bit more stress on your arm because you don't have to possibly throw two starts in a week like you do in the big leagues. You don't typically throw on 4 days rest.
Right.
His start on Sunday was probably the first time in his life he's ever had to do that. They've been checking off boxes slowly but surely, and this is a guy who I think is motivated to basically be as good as possible throughout this process to say, all right, like, you need me to do that? Okay, done. What else? What else? What else? And to the point where, like, as early as possible, he wants to force their hand. And that's good, because if you look, if it's not this weekend, there's really only one other time it would be before June, because they're not going to have this guy make his debut on the road. It would be fiscally irresponsible,
yeah,
to do that. Right. You just don't see that with, and that's not like a Pirates thing. That's pretty much any team. If you have a star prospect, you want them to play their first game at your home ballpark. And the next opportunity for him to do that, if you're trying to get him two or three more starts, now you're looking at late May, and you're 2 weeks away from the Super 2 deadline. You might as well just hold him until June then, like you did with O'Neal Cruz and other guys. And if you do that, you're going to get absolutely slaughtered by the media for being that cheap. I don't think they're going to do that. I certainly hope they wouldn't, for a team that's been very vocal about how they're intending to actually compete this year. This is a guy who, I know pitching's not the problem, this is a guy who will still make the team a lot better. And if they don't bring him up this weekend, there's really only one other opportunity for him to make his home debut before the Super 2 deadline passes. And I would, at that point, I wouldn't be shocked. They just said, all right, we'll just wait till June. And if they do that, then I think we're going to start to see Paul Skeens maybe not be such a good soldier. Maybe he will be a little bit more frustrated, and deservedly so. He's done more than enough to earn himself a spot in the major leagues.
So all that considered, let's assume Saturday is the day. home start against the Cubs. The Cubs right now, 22-15. They're 13th in on base plus slugging right now. So not a terrible team to go up against. How do you see Skeens doing in his first start against a team like that?
I mean, typically guys of his pedigree, their first start, it goes pretty well because it's hard to scout someone like that. You know, right. I mean, and granted, there's a lot more technology out there now. And also something to the Cubs' advantage is because this guy's such a notable prospect, every single one of his starts has been made free available on a national broadcast. So like, if you're a baseball fan, you've probably seen this guy pitch just a little bit. Like, there's not a lot of secrets on him. But at the same time, Carter, I mean, 102-mile-per-hour fastball is 102-mile-per-hour fastball. Yep. And that's what makes him so dangerous is you've got the velocity, but then his second-best pitch is a slider that breaks, you know, over a foot long, and it's 15 miles per hour slower than his fastball. So it's the stuff's going to be lethal regardless. I've been told that the moment this guy puts a big league uniform on, he is among the best pitchers in the game. And I've heard that from, you know, people who do baseball for a living. So I mean, I'm not expecting him to go out there and throw a perfect game or anything, but I believe that, yes, this guy can come in and make an instant impact. Baseball America just regraded the top 100 prospects in baseball. Jared Jones is number 8. Paul Skeens is number 6. And we see what Jared Jones is doing. Skeens has got a deeper bag than Jared Jones. I mean, he's got more velocity and he throws more pitches accurately. So I think there's a chance that they could have the two best rookie arms in baseball here soon.
That could be really exciting to see. The Pirates are back on the mound against the Angels, 12:35 on Wednesday. We'll see how that plays out, but then we will see. Noah Howes, he's laid out the cookie crumbs for you. If Paul Skeens is coming up, remember, you saw it here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you, Noah, for joining us. Thank you also to Ray Fittipaldo for talking Steelers with us. We're back again Friday getting you ready for Steelers Rookie Camp. And who knows? Maybe we're also talking again because we'll know for sure if Paul Skeens is coming up. Thanks again for tuning into the North Shore Drive podcast. And thanks again to Mike's Beer Bar for sponsoring us. We're back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.